Well, in honor of our Worship Plus 2 initiative, we've been in a sermon series that we're calling Grow Up. It's a sermon series where we are looking at stories in the Bible where people have taken a step in faith and they have grown from it. So if you've been with us the past few weeks, you'll remember we talked about the story of Peter, how Jesus called Peter to be a disciple, to leave behind his nets and his boats and to follow him. And then we read a story about Jesus healing a paralytic man who was literally able to take a step in faith for the very first time. And last week, if you were with us, we talked about the story of Nicodemus, that Pharisee who came to Jesus by night and who grew from his questions. And this morning, we come to another story of someone growing in faith, and that is the story of Nathanael, one of the first disciples Jesus calls. We're going to look at his story again, the story we just heard, but before we do, will you join with me in a word of prayer? Have thine own way, O Lord, have thine own way. For you, O God, are our potter, and we are your clay. Amen. Well, there's a story the old-timers around Princeton, New Jersey absolutely love to tell about the day many years ago when the seminary at Princeton made the somewhat controversial decision to move their seminary chapel to a more central location on campus. You see, originally the chapel was located several hundred yards off campus, and instead of building a brand new sanctuary, administrators decided to save some money by jacking up the existing building, putting wheels under it, and rolling it to its present location with a tractor. Well, the day finally came for the move, and students and professors alike were shocked when they saw this little chapel bouncing along the road headed to its new location. Many stopped and watched with great interest. Well, one of the people who stopped that day to watch was none other than Albert Einstein, who was teaching at Princeton at the time. And he saw that little chapel bouncing along the way. He started to laugh, and he shook his head, and he exclaimed to those people standing next to him, "Don't those seminary students know? That little box, it is too small to hold God." It was perhaps the most important theological lesson ever taught at Princeton Seminary. That little box, it was too small to hold God. Back in the 1950s, an author by the name of John B. Phillips wrote a best-selling book he called Your God is Too Small. And in the books, Phillips argues that for most Christians, for most of us, our issue with God is not that we expect too much from God. Instead, he said, most of us expect far too little when it comes to God. We try to fit all of our ideas, our concepts about who we think God is, into a box that's just not large enough to contain God. Our picture of God, Phillips writes, is too small. With that, I want you to turn back to our scripture passage this morning and the story of Nathanael. Because you see, in our scripture passage this morning, Philip tells Nathanael that indeed the Messiah had been found. He tells Nathanael that indeed they had found the one Moses had been talking about, the one the prophets had proclaimed. It was, in fact, Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. Now, this was the most exciting news any Jewish person could ever want to hear. The son of David had been discovered. The one that the entire community of Israel had anticipated for thousands of years, the one Nathanael himself would have waited for his entire life, had been found. The one who was coming to bring in God's kingdom of peace and prosperity. Only when Nathanael heard the news from Philip, he did not believe him. "Nazareth," he said. "Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Now notice, Nathanael had become so limited in his understanding of who God was that when Jesus actually came to him, when he appeared before him, he did not recognize him as the Messiah. Nathanael's theological box, it was so small that he simply couldn't picture a God that would show up in a place like Nazareth. You see, sometimes our image of God is just not big enough. Sometimes we settle for an understanding of God that is just too small. The great Protestant preacher George Buttrick tells the story of flying home one day on an airplane back to New York City after speaking at a conference with some ministers. Buttrick said he got on the plane and he pulled out a pad of paper and was making some notes on it for next Sunday's sermon. And as soon as he started to write, the person seated next to him took curiosity to mind and started looking on the paper, stealing glances, trying to figure out what it was he was doing. Well, after several minutes of trying to read what was on the paper, the seatmate finally turned to George Buttrick and said, I hate to bother you. He said, but you are working so hard on something. Tell me, what is it that you're working on? Well, I'm a minister, Dr. Buttrick replied. I'm working on my sermon for next Sunday. Ah, yes, the man said, religion. He said, I don't like to get all caught up in the complexities of religion. I like my God simple. Do unto others as they would have you do unto them. The golden rule, that's all the God I need. Well, I see, George Buttrick replied. Now tell me, what do you do? Well, the man went on to say that, in fact, he was an astronomer and that he worked at the local university. Ah, yes, George Buttrick said, astronomy. He said, I don't like to get all caught up in the complexities of astronomy. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. That's all the astronomy I need. Yeah, sometimes our picture of God, it's just not big enough. The Bible says the earth is filled with the glory of God. It's all around us, but we settle for twinkle, twinkle, little star. The Bible says that the earth is filled with the divine, but somehow we keep putting God in a box and we expect God to stay there. All too often, we settle for an understanding of God that simply skims the surface of faith instead of going deep. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Sometimes our pictures of God just aren't big enough. And not only is our picture of God often too small, at times our expectations for what God can accomplish in our life is also too small as well. We come to church and we read Bible story after Bible story about God performing miracles for other people. We read about stories where God slays a giant or parts the seas. We read about stories where God frees people from captivity. But somehow, we never think those sorts of things can happen in our lives. We never think God would perform something like that for someone like us. Sometimes our expectations of God are just too small as well. I remember talking with a church member several years ago now. And during the conversation, I asked him the question, I said, what is your vision for Pinehurst Shania Methodist? What are you so excited about? What do you want God to do here in the future? What are you looking forward to? He said to me, oh, my dream? You want to know my dream for our church? It's easy. He said, I would love for one day, I would love for our church to own a church van. I said, that's your dream for the church? A church van? That's the biggest thing you could think of, a church van? I've had a church van before. Those things aren't dreams. Those things are nightmares. Now, sometimes our expectations for God are just too small as well. Jesus said to Nathanael, do you believe because I told you that I saw you under a fig tree? You will see greater things than these. He said, you will see even greater things than what you have already seen. Yes, the very first step in faith Nathanael took came the moment, the very moment he started to believe God was capable of doing even greater things than he could have possibly imagined. Jesus told Nathanael that if he followed him, that if he indeed became a disciple, he would see that heaven opened and angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. In this moment, in this call story, Jesus expands Nathanael's understanding of who God is, what God is capable of in his life. No longer was Nathanael settling for God stuck in a box. Now he was starting to anticipate miracles. He was starting to anticipate what it was God was going to do next. I'm reminded of a story that Mark Batterson tells about a drought that took place in Mississippi many years ago. Batterson said the drought was so severe that all of the crops began to die. It was dry and arid everywhere, and the farmers began to fear for their economic livelihood. In fact, one of the local congregations in rural Mississippi convened a prayer meeting where dozens of farmers showed up in overalls praying that God would send rain, praying that God would nourish the earth again so that indeed their crops could grow. Well, Batterson said just before the prayer meeting was to start, the doors opened and one final farmer walked in. And would you believe that this farmer was wearing waders and a rain suit? Everyone looked at him quizzically and said to him, what are you doing? He said, sorry, I'm late. He said, I didn't want to walk home wet. Yes, he dressed. He dressed anticipating the miracle. Yes, what would it look like in our faith if we actually believed God was capable of doing exactly what the Bible tells us God wants to do? What if we stopped expecting too little from God and instead we started to anticipate miracles? Because the Apostle Paul says God can accomplish immeasurably, immeasurably more than you could possibly imagine. Which means if God can heal Lazarus from the dead, he can heal your broken relationship also. If Jesus can restore sight to a blind man, well, he can give you a future and a vision for where your life is going. If he can provide manna and quail in the wilderness, he can provide for you today greater things, Jesus said. You will see greater things. As you follow Jesus long enough, and soon your picture of who God is, what God is capable of, it begins to grow, it begins to swell to biblical proportions. And you start to dress for miracles. You start expecting even greater things. Back when I was in Atlanta, I was talking with a woman once who volunteered regularly at the Central Night Shelter at Central Presbyterian Church in downtown Atlanta. During our conversation, I asked her what the mission of Central Night Shelter was, what their guiding principle was, what they were hoping to accomplish with all their efforts. And she said, well, our goal here at Central Night Shelter is that we want to end homelessness. I said, wow, that's a rather ambitious goal. I mean, there's almost 6 million people in the city of Atlanta, and you want to end homelessness? And she said, no, that's not what I said. She said, our goal at the shelter is to end homelessness, not just in Atlanta. We want to end it everywhere. We believe that everyone deserves a place to sleep at night. Everyone deserves a roof over their head. And with God's help, she said, I think we'll get there. One day, she said, we'll get there. It's that little box. It's just too small to hold God, Einstein said. Greater things, Jesus said to Nathanael. I will show you even greater things. One day we'll get there, she said. With God's help, we will get there. So may you go forth from this place, trusting in the God who is able to accomplish far more than you could ever ask for or imagine. May you stop expecting too little from God, and may you start anticipating miracles. And as your vision of God begins to grow, and your confidence in the magnitude of his love swells to biblical proportions, may you watch as the heavens are open and angels ascend and descend upon the Son of Man. Greater things you will see, Jesus says. Greater things indeed. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Will you pray with me? We thank you, O God, that you have called us to have faith the size of a mustard seed and trust that you will move a mountain. We thank you, God, that you hear our prayers and that indeed you respond. So help us to have the boldness of faith to continue to expect you to show up and to move in this place. Expand our minds and our hearts that indeed we might glimpse your glory even here. For we offer this prayer in the name of Christ Jesus, the one who promised us greater things, the one who shows us the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. I'd invite you to stand for our closing hymn.